Our thought today is this: wants and needs. Wants and needs. If you have your Bibles with you today, dear friends, turn with us, if you will, to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter number 4. There is a difference between wants and needs. Now, many people have them confused. There are no doubt some today who have said, I need to go to church, but I want to go to the lake. There is a great difference between needs and wants. We want to be able to explore that today by way of the Holy Spirit as Paul was writing to a church who had a great desire. In Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin reading this morning in verse number 10 and read down through verse number 19, with verse 19 being our primary passage. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But now, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Dear friends, let's pray. Our kind and most wonderful Jesus, Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that you've blessed us once again to be able to come and to share, Lord, the word that you've laid upon our heart. Father, as we break this bread, Father, we pray, God, that it has free course among us all today. Father, we pray as always that if there's someone among us this morning that has a need in their heart, Lord, we pray, God, that they will come, Father, to the throne of grace to have that need met by you and you alone. Thank you, dear Jesus, for this sweet spirit, Lord, that we feel in our heart. Thank you, dear Father, for this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church that was full of love. Thank you once again, dear Father, for the many and abundant blessings you so graciously have bestowed upon us. Lead us, dear Father, in the pathways that bring you glory. And as always, it is in your name, Jesus, it is that we pray. Amen. Friends, as we looked here at Philippians chapter 4, we find the Apostle Paul is in prison. It's one of the prison epistles by the great apostle to the Gentile world. When I began to focus upon this letter, we find there that Paul's central theme is about the Christian experience. I tell you today, friends, the Lord is blessing us to have Christian experiences each and every day of our lives. He's blessing us to go out into the highways and the byways of the world, carrying the good news of hope to a lost, dying, and needful world. Now when you look here at Philippians 4, and you get here, there, in verse number 10, you will find there that Paul is rejoicing greatly. You say, Brother Lynn, why is Paul rejoicing? A man that's incarcerated, a man that's in prison, how can he have joy in his heart? Oh, dear friends, because he belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ had blessed him and provided for him in a great, in a glorious way. Oh, dear friends, we say that this, when you put Jesus Christ first and foremost, no matter what situation may befall you, the Lord will bless you. He will help you and lift you up so that you today can rejoice and sing praises to the one who is worthy of praise. Oh, when I look here at this passage and we thought about Paul in his condition, we began to reflect on how that this great man of God had a longing to reach out to the church of the Philippians, and he would address them with thanksgiving. Oh, dear friends, when you think about the thanksgiving of Paul, he was thanking them not just by the gift that he received, but he thanked them from the willingness of their heart. For you see, dear friends, the Lord blessed them and enabled them to reach out to Paul in a time of great want. Oh, I want you to understand something today. There's a difference between want and need. There's a lot of things that people want in life, and that's okay. But I tell you, if our want become to the type that it covets, if the want that we have consumed us in a great and mighty way, I can tell you that we'll take your focus off of God. It's the Lord's desire. It's the Lord's will that you allow Him to bless you and to help you and to provide for you by His riches. Praise God in glory. Oh, when I looked here at this work of the great apostle, we thought about this man of God and his relationship with the church of the Philippians. You see there, dear friends, they had reached out to him different times, but they had lost track of Paul, and their heart was very burdened. They had lost track of the man that they loved and cared for. For you see, dear friends, as he ministered throughout Asia Minor, communication was very hard. And after 2 years, they found out that Paul was incarcerated in a Roman prison, and they felt burdened to reach out to him. Oh, I tell you, children, ain't we people of faith? Ain't we to be the force that God uses to bless people in their time of need and want? God has provided today, as He did yesterday, with opportunity after opportunity to give on His behalf. And that's how that Paul was receiving. That's how Paul was rejoicing, because the Lord used these Philippians to bless him and to help him in a time of lowliness in his life. I tell you, dear friends, if you look around, you can always find someone in worse shape than you. I tell you, the needs are many, and the needs are great. And those that are in need, they have wants, they have desires. But I can tell you, on the authority of God's word, that the Lord has a desire to use us to be a blessing to them in a great and a glorious way. But what fails in man's heart today is that his wants come before the needs of those around him, and they find themselves with a lustful heart to satisfy the desires of the flesh, unwilling to allow God to bless them and to help them. I tell you today, friends, if we're willing to put Jesus Christ first in our lives, not only will he bless us, but he will bless those that we reach out to. I believe that God has helped us and given us the ability to make a difference. People's lives. You see, dear friends, when the Philippian church reached out to Paul, they had a desire to help him because they loved him, they cared about him, and they felt in their heart that they could be an essential part of the ministry. Well, that is unchanged because God has blessed us bountifully. He's blessed us in tremendous ways to make a difference in the world that's around us. I beg you today, I cry out today that you don't allow Satan to corrupt your lives and allow the wants and the desires of self get in the ways of the needs of God. I believe that when you look at the church of the Philippians, you will see a church that was willing to sacrifice, a church that was willing to give, a church that touched the very heartstrings of the Apostle Paul. That's why he rejoiced as he did, and he rejoiced in a great way, because you see, it wasn't amount about the amount of the gift. It was something that touched his heart with their willingness to give. I tell you today, you want to touch somebody, you want to be a blessing to somebody, you give to them in the call of God, and the Lord will use your efforts to bless in a tremendous way. That's why the Bible teaches us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Oh, don't give out of spite. Don't give out of necessity of oneself, but give because of the call that God has on your life. And if it takes sacrifice on your part or on my part, let us sacrifice to give to the glory of God. Let us do that. Let us do that. But many will say, "Oh, I know there's needs, but I want that. I desire that. If I can just obtain that, I'll be happy. If I can just take this trip, if I can just do this, oh, I'll be happy." Oh, I tell you today, dear friends, the superficial happiness of man is bringing about his downfall. There's people all around us are spiritually deprived and they're physically oppressed. They need the people of God, the people of faith, to step up and rise to the occasion and stand in the gaps and bring glory to God with their generous heart. Oh, when you see that, you see a beautiful picture of Paul in the ministry with the Philippine church, the Philippine Philippian church, the Philippi church, the church there in Asia Minor was flourishing and blessing. They didn't have too much in material things, but what they had, they were willing to give. That's why Paul was blessed as he was, because they gave from their heart, not because of his want, but because they felt he had a need. Do you know people that's got needs today? Do you know people today that are longing for help? Oh, I tell you today, dear friends, it's God's desire, it's God's will that we're willing to stay the course and to keep the faith and to do what it is that the Lord would have us to do to make the lives of those around us just a little bit better. I tell you, if God has blessed you, if God has enabled you, ask you today, I beg you today to sacrifice and be willing to allow God's will be done in life. You see, it's not my will be done, it's His will, and His will be done in the lives of us all. And Paul, in this little old message of his, when he talked about victory over anxious care. You say, what do you mean by that? Was Paul anxious? Sure. You get anxious and worried and troubled about things? Yes. We all do. We all do. You say, well, Brother Lynn, is it wrong for me to want? No. No. You want the best for your family. You want the best health. You want the best that you possibly can have. But I tell you today, if your want turns into greed and you covet the things of your neighbors, it's a sin in the eyes of God. People says, I don't like it. It don't matter whether we like it or not. It's the truth of the Word of God. We got to be willing to do what God would have us to do, because people today are falling by the wayside, and it seems as though our society just don't care. My way or the highway? My way or the highway? Oh, I tell you, if I can obtain this, if I can grasp this, if I can take this and bring it to me, I'll be happy. And then I'll think about doing something for my neighbor. Oh, I tell you, Jesus said that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. I tell you, we love ourselves a great deal. Do we love our neighbors as we do us? What did Paul say? Did he struggle? Yes. Was that Roman prison pleasant? No. That's why the heart of the Philippians went out to this man of God. But you know something Paul told him? He said, I know how to be abased. He knew how to be humble. That's what that means. He knew what it meant to have humility. He said, now I know how to abound. Oh, I'm a frequent flyer, being lowly. And I'm also well acquainted with being high up. And I know, come hell or high water, my Lord Jesus Christ, He will bless me. And praise God, help me. Paul said, I know whether the Philippians helped him, whether the Thessalonians helped him, whether the Ephesians helped him, whether the Colossians helped him. It didn't matter. God would supply. God would take care. God would bless. Oh, praise His glorious name. He has a desire today to help us be a part of the kingdom work. Wants and needs. Paul knew the full spectrum. He'd been high, He'd been low. You've been high. You've been low. But I tell you, you can agree with us today that we can apply this verse to our lives in Philippians 4 and 13 to where the God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Praise be to God. No matter how low you may be, you're never so low that the long, strong arm of the Almighty can't lift you up. The Lord God Almighty has blessed us. He's enabled us, and He's helped us. Praise His glorious name to be here today. Today. You might say, well, Brother Lynn, I got here on my own might. No, you didn't get here on your own might. You got here through by the grace and the willingness and the miracles of the Lord. That's how you got here. People says, well, I ain't ever seen no miracles. Have you taken a deep breath today? Have you blinked your eye? Yes, you've experienced a miracle. Each and every day that you awake and put your feet on the floor, that's a miracle. That's a gift from God. Paul, this old prison. I don't know which facility he was in at this particular time. Many scholars and theologians think that Paul might possibly have had two prison experiences in Rome. But I do know that at one time Paul had been in the Matertine prison. And in the Matertine prison, scholars and theologians say that in the section where Paul was, that the raw sewage would run continuously at least ankle deep. Yet, in this time of despair, in this time of loneliness, in this time of suffering, the Lord blessed him and lifted him up to bring praise and glory to the name of God. You see, Paul was rejoicing, not because of what he received, but because of how you received it. You know something today? We may not have much. Some of us may have more than others, but some of us may not have two nickels to rub together. But I think about Mark chapter number 12, and I think about the latter verses between 39 and the continuation of that chapter. You find there that Jesus would give a lesson to His disciples about the widow with the two mites. Jesus told His disciples there in Mark chapter number 12 that the widow had gave in the most. Those two mites were a farthing, which equated to a fourth of a cent. And they had watched many given the great treasures of the day. But Jesus said that she gave the very most because she gave of her wealth. She gave what she had in the name of God. And that, dear friends, spoke volumes to His name. You see, when you look at the Word of God, and you see here how that Paul was rejoicing, and he gave thanks to the Philippian church, not because of the enormous amount that they gave, but because they were willing to surrender and be obedient to the will of God. Now, Paul was incarcerated. He was limited in what he could do. He could not help them in any way, but through prayer and the Word. But Paul told them, as he tells us, to take heart. You say, what do you mean, brother? Take heart. Paul wrote to them in verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. He said, but my God. What's he saying? He said, I have a personal, intimate relationship with God. And Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What Paul was saying, I may not, but praise God, He can. That's why the Bible teaches us that he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. You hear him, old country preacher said, not only did he own the cattle of 1,000 hills, but he owned the taters in those hills. It's all God's. Oh, dear friend, your wanter might need adjusted. You may need to put your want and your desires on the back burner and allow God to bless you, to help you, to stir you, and to move you to be the person that God would have you to be. You'll see change. People says, well, nobody comes to the altar no more. People come to church when they want to. And when you look around, you see that most of them don't want to. If it feels good, do it. You see all these things in the day and time in which it is with it. They said, well, brother, you don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. It's just society. People's changed. Times has changed. People's wants and desires to change. Oh, I tell you today, I tell you, hell is still real and heaven is still glorious and there's still a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the Bible tells me, as it tells you, that the Lord is the same today as he was yesterday. And praise be to God, he will be forevermore. Now, they said, well, don't. Oh, now. You know Dollywood's open. Well, that's great. I like Dollywood, too. But I don't know why in the world every trip to Dollywood seems to have to be on Sunday. You see, if the Philippian church felt that way, and then went to the local water park down at Thessalonica, old Paul might not have got that gift. You say, well, poor Paul. No, poor Philippians. Because you see, the Lord was going to bless him and to help him in accordance to his riches and glory. I tell you, friend, the Lord is going to provide and the Lord is going to take care of. But what the Lord is telling us today, that we can be blessed by our willingness to do. By ours. You know, you've heard, well, let the preacher do it. Let the deacons do it. Oh, I tell you today, dear friend, I had an old deacon there in Granger County tell me a long time ago, many years ago, he said he's heard it all his life that people said they need to get committed. I tell you, Brother Lynn, they got committed the day that they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Traveling in those churches in Granger and Knox County and Jefferson County and all those places, a very uneducated man, he had wisdom on his heart. Found out that he died with cancer just a couple of months ago, and my heart grieved. I'll never forget that, what he said. We were committed. We were committed the day that Jesus Christ became the Lord of our life. Oh, you see, dear friends, when the Lord blesses you, and the Lord blesses me, you can rest assured that he's blessed us to be a blessing to others. Oh, don't fall victim to the lies of the devil. Don't fall victim as the Jews was in John 8 and 44 when Jesus told them that they believed the lies of their father, and their father was the father of lies. I tell you today, friends, let us be willing to be used by God, because people around us are hurting, they're lost, they're backslidden, and they're undone, and they need a Christian witness, and they need a testimony, and they need a willing gift from the hearts of the children of faith. They need that. They need that.
You say, how do they know that they need that? Well, because you and I are here because of that. If somebody wasn't willing to pray for you, if somebody wasn't willing to help you, if somebody wasn't willing to encourage you, if somebody wasn't willing to sacrifice for you, you can rest assured that many of us wouldn't be here today. I've got people in my family that needs the Lord. You got people in your family that needs the Lord. You know people that are in need. You know people that is deprived spiritually and physically. You know that. I know that. Question is, what are we doing about that? The Philippians searched for 2 years for Paul. You study it out. They lost contact with him for 2 years. But boy, when they heard where he was at, boy, did they start working. You know, with many of us today, and I'm not picking on you, I'm including myself, if we go 2 years without seeing or hearing about anybody, they're pretty much forgotten. Amen? They are. Still don't change their situation any. But it sure puts a different perspective on ours. I'm thankful that God didn't forget about me, Bob. I'm thankful that God sent them old saints to pray for me. I'm thankful that when I've been down and out, that somebody was willing to do. My daddy sitting back there, I can remember when my mother was dying. She was on the deathbed for 2 years before she ever perished. Couldn't work. I was a deadbeat and I didn't work. I can remember people stood up to the plate, brought blessings to us. Not because they had to, but because they desired to. I don't know if you remember. Now, you remember old Charlie Sharp down here? Oh, Charlie, he prayed. The old piano player, Charlie, he prayed. And he gave. Gave generously. In every way he could. Not because he had to. Not because we asked. Because he felt led to. I can remember all the way back to 1984. That people gave. It brings joy. It brings joy. You know, Paul was rejoicing. Rejoicing. Because of their giving. You want to make a difference in somebody's life today, friends? Give in the name of Jesus. May not be much, but like the widow's two mites, my God can do a lot with a little. But we fall into the mindset of day that we get wants and needs confused. If we're not careful, wants can consume. And devil can take those wants and hinder us in a tremendous way. And we'll pass right by an open door blessing that God would have us to step through. Let us today be mindful. It's about not what it is that we have, but it's about who that has given. in the name of God that makes a difference. My prayer today is that the Word of God speaks to your heart, and that you will desire to put Him first, because we know He has preeminence today. But allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, through you, and about you. And God will move. God will move. You see, an old backslidden 20-year-old boy who thought more about running the roads than he did about anything. Those old saints of God that's gone on to be with the Lord, their efforts blessed him. At the time, he didn't know it. But as the years passed, and as the Lord worked on him, it became apparent. Now, I'll never physically ever, probably ever get the, well, he's already gone on. I'll never be able to say thank you, Charlie. Or thank you to many others that so graciously gave in one way, form, or fashion. But praise be to God, one day I will. And I like old Paul in that prison cell in Rome. I can rejoice because the one that I belong to and the one that brought great treasure to me. Let's stand to our feet.